There's lots of talk about who will lead Labor parties at a state level, at a national level, and it's pretty likely, well, actually, it's certain you know a woman, or at least have known a woman in your life. Your mum, your sister, your auntie, your cousin, wife, partner. You might be a woman yourself. I certainly am, last time I checked, which is good. They give you life. They make some of the most important decisions in your life. But despite the importance of women and their sheer numbers around the place, they're not really represented in Parliament in the same way. And we're seeing this highlighted as we see the leaders' debate go on at a state and at a federal level, especially in the Labor Party at the moment. And as we look to who Scott Morrison will put in his next government's ministry. Compared to other countries like New Zealand, France, Spain, Germany, the UK, Australia falls well behind. And we are hearing today that Prime Minister Scott Morrison is under pressure to elevate women in his ministry. So what's the issue with Australian politics? And is it possible to get more women into Parliament? Let's talk about this issue now with Dr. Katrine Beauregard from the School of Politics and International Relations at the Australian National University. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya.
There are some people out there who might think, well, why do we need more women in Parliament? It's been working just fine for over a century. Why is it important to have female representation in our governments?
Well, I think you summarised it pretty well in your introduction, is that women do make a lot of important decisions in their life, and they do have different experience than men have, right? Because they're even to this day, they're more the one who are taking care of the children. They tend to have different types of employment. They have different opinions about the political issues that we have in Australia and around the world. And as such, if this kind of experience and opinion are not represented in our parliament, then that kind of creates a problem for a democracy, right? We want our parliament to represent every Australian, and that includes women.
So what are the barriers for women finding their way into politics at the moment?
There's a lot of it, right? Like I said, part of it is women are the ones who are more likely to have to take care of their children. So they have more at-home responsibility, taking care of a family relative. And there's also the fact that politics is still to this day is kind of dominated by network, right? So how we select or pre-select candidate in an election is a lot more about who you know, and not so much about the so-called best candidate or the merit argument. And women tend to not be within these kind of networks of who you know, political networks, for a variety of reasons, and that kind of impact their likelihood of being pre-selected.
Are we seeing a change, especially in that groundswell movement when it comes to politics, maybe in university politics where we often see our future politicians found? Are we seeing more women, young women, get involved in the conversations there?
It's hard to figure out because these sorts of things are a bit not really studied, I guess. We don't really study political sciences, university politics, but from an anecdotal point of view, right, I think even from the youth branch, they still tend to be dominated by men, right? And that seems to be something that's really hard to break out, right? Even studies from the United States have shown that basically children, boys, are actually more likely to say that they'll be president or they'll be prime minister than girls, right? Mm-hmm. So we see these gender differences emerge pretty early on, and it's quite worrying.
When we did see a female in the top job in our country as prime minister, when Julia Gillard took on that role, there was a bit of a change in commentary as well to what we'd seen from men in the past, conversations about her hair, about her fashion, about what she was saying and how she was saying it, and her Australian accent. Did we see that conversation really change from her as a leader to, say, Kevin Rudd before her or Scott Morrison now?
Yeah, there's definitely a change, and that's not just in Australia. If you look at Theresa May or when Hillary Clinton was running for president in the United States, right, we see a lot more of these discussions based on women's private life. And I think that's kind of one of the issue here, is that we still do associate women with a supportive wife, the good mom, and that kind of clash with their idea of what is a politician or what's a political leader, right? So that's kind of still, I think, to this day, a problem for women, is that you're still going to ask her about what she's wearing, where her kids are at, and who's taking care of her kids, things that men are not. We kind of assume a lot of things about that men politicians don't have to worry about these sorts of issues.
Is that a huge turnoff when other women see that happening? Is that a huge turnoff as to why they might pick a different career path rather than politics?
I mean, I think what we've seen is like the way we frame politics, right? And if we focus on helping others or community involvement, that kind of are the issue that brings women in, right? Solving problems, helping people in your community, or how a way of making change, that kind of things that resonate more with women. And if we emphasize more the politics or the it's a fight or it's like a war, right? A lot of the war metaphor tends to be a lot more turned off for women, right? Because you kind of feel that it might not be very good for you, right? If you get into a battle, right? But if you focus really much on the more positive side, right? There's a lot of positive about politics, right? Mm. Helping others, solving problems. These seems to be much more successful than bringing women in.
Which is so interesting because, you know, we've just seen a very long election campaign and it's all been that it's a fight between, it's a war, the battle of, it is all that language. That's the only language we kind of see in that moment.
Yeah. And that's very coded masculine, right? So it's not just about what's feminine and what's masculine. It's like we tend to discuss politics in terms of what traditionally have been what men do, which is men fighting wars, right? Or men fighting for power, and not really thinking about how does that apply for women who have a more different kind of life or has been socialized very early on as being like, right, you have to be nice, you have to play well with your friends, you have to be accommodating to others. And that socialization makes it a bit harder for politics, right? If politics is very much framed as in it's a battle to the end, right? And that can be a bit of a turnoff for some women.
So what's the solution? You know, some people say quotas in ministry. Some people say, you know, that we do have to start at the grassroots. What do you think is the solution to getting more women in our political parties?
I mean, look, the very easy solution is quotas, and they actually do work. We have a lot of data around the world in many countries that basically show that actually quotas can work, right? It leads to more women being pre-selected, more women being elected. And if you look at this merit argument, right, the quota women are as good, if not better, than the men who are into office, right? And the issue is that when we talk about merit, we also think about, like, assume that the men are always good and women have to prove their worth. Mm-hmm. But the quotas do actually kind of work. And that's what kind of what we see in the Labour Party in Australia is that because they have a party objective, right, of especially enforce that objective, that their numbers have been increasing, right? I don't have the one for the latest election yet, but it seems like over the last 20 years, the Labour have been able to actually increase their presence of women, while the Liberals have been basically stalling, right? Mm. They basically haven't changed much since the early 2000s, right? We haven't seen any significant increase in how they increase their women. So if you need to change political parties' behavior, one way of doing it is basically to put quotas in. It does work.
As we prepare for the new ministry for the federal government, as we look at the battle going on for leadership in the Labour Party, both at a national and a New South Wales level, do you think when we see what decisions are made, that'll give us an insight into where women are seen in politics right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think since we're talking a lot of gender, it does reflect that now in Australian society, there's kind of this expectation that we need to have women, right? That's why we're talking about the cabinet right now, is that, and why there's pressure on Scott Morrison to nominate and increase the number of women, is that we do have this expectation today in Australian society that women has to be represented. It's not normal to not have women there because there's a lot of good women who run for office who are competent. And if we don't see them, that means that there's a problem with the system. It's not that there's you know, a lot of the arguments that, well, women are not interested or not good enough. No, this is actually wrong. And I think most of Australian nowadays realize that there's a lot of very good, competent women out there. And if they're not if not in cabinet or if they're not running for leadership, that probably means it's on the party. It's not on us Australians.
Katrine, really great to have a chat with you about this morning. Thanks for your time on ABC Newcastle.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Katrine Beauregard there. She's from the School of Politics and International Relations at the Australian National University.